a very, very pleasant Palm Sunday to all of us who are here, and especially to those of you who are sharing your phones with somebody, whether it's a family member or a friend. We're so glad to have you on a day like this. And the Apostolic Church in America certainly joining with all the other churches in celebrating today what is considered in the Christian calendar, Palm Sunday. It marks the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem as he starts this week, a week of torture, a week of testing, a week of checking out the sacrifice to find out whether or not the sacrifice is good enough to be offered up. It is a week of examination as far as Jesus is concerned from the hierarchy in Jerusalem. And it today marks the beginning of that week. And it is going to end up in Jesus being crucified. So it is a very important week. And today is a very important day, as I said, on the Christian calendar. And I'm glad to know that the Lord has blessed us that we can come together to look on God's word on a day like this. So some of you probably have your palm, a little palm, maybe you tuck it in your Bible, or you might have it on your desk or your table or somewhere, but it is symbolic as to what the early pilgrimage in Jamaica, in Jerusalem, did as they saw Jesus. And so we're going to look on this portion of scripture that was read today to see how it lines up with what had happened there in Jerusalem. We will be looking on it from the topic that comes from the first verse that says, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And it is so important that we understand that sometimes, or most of the time, you look on somebody's face and you know the condition of the heart. The face, to a large extent, mirrors what is in the heart.
Yes.
And sometimes if there is anger in the heart, the first place you're going to see that is in the person's face. Sometimes if joy is in the heart, the first place that is going to manifest itself is in the face. I can't understand there are some people who would say, joy is in my heart, but I don't show it on my face. I don't understand that part of it at all. Because once there is joy in the heart, the first place it is going to manifest is in the face. One will see that joy in the face. And sometimes there are sadness in the heart, and the place where that is manifest is also in the face. The face generally mirrors the condition of the heart.
Yes.
And here we see in the scripture, as we read this morning, that it said that Jesus steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Steadfastly and face in the same sentence is very serious. Because it is saying that he is determined. His face is telling us that he is determined that he is going to Jerusalem on a particular mission. I want you to remember what Isaiah said. Isaiah 50 and verse 7. Isaiah 50 verse 7 tells us that, let me just read it here. Isaiah 50, verse 7. Let me read verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheek to them that pluck off the hair. This is Isaiah prophesying about Jesus. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. You remember all of those things took place in Jerusalem with Jesus. But listen to what verse 7 said. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus entered into Jerusalem to be ill-treated in this way. And Isaiah said he sets his face like a flint. In other words, he was so determined in his heart that he was going up to Jerusalem, knowing what was going to happen to him. And nothing or nobody could stop that state of mind. And when they look in on Jesus' face here in St. Luke, they discover that he set his face firmly, resolutely, to go to Jerusalem, comes what may. And it is interesting to know that at this time, as Luke recorded this, Jesus was laying low after he raised Lazarus from the dead. The Jews and all the hierarchy in Jerusalem, when they saw how popular he has become, because people start to gravitate to him from all over, and it caused them to be diminishing, and they saw the rising of Jesus' popularity, and the world, in their words, was going towards him, and it hurt them. And if you read what is there in St. John, in St. John chapter 11, you will discover that the rage of the Pharisee and scribe was so much to get Jesus that he backed off from Jerusalem. And if you read a passage from St. John chapter 11, 53 to the end, you're going to discover that Jesus backed away from Jerusalem. And Jesus hung out low in the wilderness of Ephraim because he wanted to get out of the way of those who would try to harm him or put him in serious danger. And I just read the last verse of St. John chapter 11. Listen to what the last verse says. You can read the rest in your spare time, especially from verse 53. The last verse said, now both the chief priests and the Pharisees are given a commandment that if any knew where he was, he should show it that they might take him. After Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead and his popularity soared, the high priest, Sadducee and Pharisee, sought to kill him, and he lay low out there in the wilderness in the city of Ephraim, where they would not see him. But I want to say to the church this morning, when the time came, hallelujah, when the time which is appointed by the counsel of God came, that he should go into Jerusalem, Jesus show up himself as if he said, I am turning myself in. No longer am I hanging out there in the wilderness to come out of the way of the scribes and the Pharisees. I am turning myself in. I am going into Jerusalem. And Luke would have it, as we read, that Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. And the prophet Isaiah described it as he set his face like a flint. A flint is a hard stone that is difficult to crack. And that is how the prophet described Jesus' resoluteness at heart to go to Jerusalem. For this, he said, I am turning myself in. No longer am I going to be in Ephraim. No longer am I going to come out of the way of those who try to kill me. But I am going into the heart of the beast. I am heading right into their territory. Because of an assignment that I have received from the counsel of God. And so we ask ourselves the question, what is it that he saw when he got to Jerusalem? What did he saw when he got to Jerusalem? With this frame of mind, steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem. What is it that he saw when he got there? 3 points that we would like to look on today from this passage. And that is, the first one is, when he got to Jerusalem, what did he saw? What did he saw? When he got to Jerusalem, he sent his disciples in a village for a court that was tied. And the whole of this piece of information can be found in St. Luke chapter 19, from verse 28 to verse 47. He sent his disciples to get a colt that was in another village. And when they brought the colt to him, the donkey to him, they put their colt up on the donkey and sat Jesus upon it. And he rode that donkey. And by this time, a multitude of people was gathered around Jesus. And the whole procession, and they spread out a coat, is that they are making a statement. Because they learned of him. They heard so much about his fame, what he did, raising Lazarus, healed sicknesses, and doing all sorts of miracles. And now he has arrived in Jerusalem. And a multitude who came to the Passover heard that Jesus was there. As they sat him up on that donkey, is that they were making a statement by spreading their coats in the way. And some of them cut down palm trees and laid it as a carpet for him to ride that donkey on and pass over. They were making a statement to say, this is an outstandingly important man. This is a king. And the least that they could do, the court that they would have cherished so much, in total respect, they would have placed it in the way to let the beast walk over it in recognition of who Jesus is. And this is what we call Palm Sunday. And as they walk over this, the crowd would shout with the top of their voice, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who come in the name of the Lord. And this is so important that all four gospel carries it. All four gospel carries this piece of information. Matthew 21, verse 1 to 11 carries it. Mark 11, 1 to 11 carries it. Luke 19, 28 to 44 carries it. John 12, 12 to 19 carries this piece of information because it is so vital. It is so important that the world should know what had happened on this particular day in Jerusalem. But the question is, these are the things that happen as the people would shout, Hosanna, would shout, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I want to remind you that at this point, Jesus was not carried away by what was being said. His focus was still on what is set before him. His face was set towards Jerusalem. And Isaiah reminds us that his face was set like a flint. Hard. His heart was hard and focused, determined that what was prophesied of him, he was going to carry it out. And he was not carried away by the sound of multitude. But he remained focused and steadfast even in that moment. So we ask ourselves the question, what did he saw for our first point? What did he saw when he went into Jerusalem? And we find that the answer to that in St. Luke chapter 19, the same passage that deals with his entry into Jerusalem here. And we're staying with Luke. The same passage here. Verse 41. Listen to what verse 41 said. Enter into Jerusalem. This is what Jesus saw. And when he was come near, verse 41, St. Luke 19, verse 41, he beheld the city and wept over it. That is what? In the face of the multitude around him, in the face of the multitude around Jesus, verse 37 tells us about the multitude. Verse 37 said, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of Mount Olive, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. multitude of people that were there, people who came to the Passover, had heard that Jesus was in town. In the face of this multitude, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. We are told that he steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem. In Luke 9, the passage we have read for our lesson. But when he got there, this is what happened. When he was come near, he beheld the city and wept. So we ask ourselves the question, why is it that Jesus so focused on a particular day like this, historic day, because this is the day that was prophesied by so many prophets that would come. And now it is here. And on this day, we are told two things, that Jesus was focused, his face was set towards Jerusalem, he was steadfast. And then we are being told now that in the midst of the multitude that was crying Hosanna, he wept. What did he saw? Jesus wept here in the midst of a multitude as he saw something that they did not see. He saw something that was hidden from their faces, from their eyes. He saw something, a danger to the city. And he wept over it. We need to ask ourselves the question, what is it that he saw? For this we would go to Matthew 23. And then we will come back to this. Matthew 23, 37. Earlier in Jesus' ministry, before he had to go to the mountain, the village, or the wilderness, as John tells us in St. John 11. Earlier, as he was leaving Jerusalem, because he realized that they were seeking his life to destroy. Earlier in his ministry, these are the things that he said about Jerusalem. Listen to what he said here in St. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Because we want to find out what it is that he saw when he got there on this triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Verse 37. He, before he left there, said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stone them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee, gather thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chicken under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." What was they shouting when Jesus came? They were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This word that Jesus spoke earlier has now been fulfilled. Are they echoes? What Psalms 118 verse 26 says. The people would say, as he entered into Jerusalem according to the Psalms, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus made the prediction here that he is not going to return to Jerusalem until they recognize who he is. And when Jesus came and rode down that lane, and they spread their things in the way, they shout and said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But Jesus didn't stop there. While he said that, before he left Jerusalem, now he comes back again and he is doubling down on it because of what he saw. The very Jerusalem that kills the prophets, that kills the servants of God, that stones God's people, that stones God's servants. Jesus knows that he is another prophet who is going to die in just a matter of days. He's just another prophet that is going to die in a matter of days, because Jerusalem has this track record of killing prophets and stoning the servants of God. And he knows that he is now next in line. Within a week, he will be killed by the same hands. And he wept because they did not know what they were doing. So here was Jesus now doubling down on what he had said long before in his ministry. Here is him saying this to us. In verse 42, after he wept, listen to what he says. And if thou art known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace. But now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemy shall cause a trench about thee, and compass thee round about, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and the children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. Jesus, after weeping as he saw the judgment that is about to come upon the city of Jerusalem, he told them plainly that the time is going to come when this very city is going to be leveled by the Romans. And this prophecy came to pass AD 70, 35 years after Jesus made this prediction. A Roman soldier by the name of Titus carried his army into Jerusalem, and he plundered the entire city, leveled the temple, put a plow through the very foundation of the temple, leveled the temple, killed so many people as Jesus had predicted. Because Jerusalem had killed the prophets, and Jerusalem had stoned God's servants, and Jerusalem had slain him himself. And Jesus, when he entered the city, he looked and he saw the coming judgment upon the city, and realized that it is for this reason why I am here. that sin will get a beating, that sin will be defeated, even though it would cost him his life. And we're told in Luke 9 that he set his face towards Jerusalem steadfastly, that nothing is going to stop him to accomplish the purpose for which he came. I'm saying to all of us this morning, and I'm asking the question, what is it that your faith is telling us? If we should look in your face, what do we see? Do we see steadfastness in serving God? Do we see the level of commitment that Jesus exhibits here in the face of danger to serve God? Do we see that? Do others see that in us? Can others read our heart from what our face is saying? As others read Jesus' face, knowing the condition of his heart. Walk into the territory of the enemy, determined to carry out the will of God. Do we see that? And that leads me now to the second point. The second point that I would like to make here. As we go back to St. Luke chapter 9. St. Luke chapter 9, and I read this passage again to make the second point. I read from verse 51 again to verse 53. Possibly verse 54. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messenger before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And I read 54, even though I'm going to use 54 later on again. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? The second point that I would like to make to the church this morning in regards to this, as we are watching Jesus steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, is the enemy will pull out every stop in order to derail your vision. The enemy will try to pull all the stops in order to derail your vision. And I, based on the topic, we need to make sure that we are steadfastly committed to a particular cause. And that is, we are committed to serving Jesus, comes what may. A commitment to serve God in the face of adversity, in the face of challenges. A commitment that is steadfast, anchored into the very fabric of what Jesus has established as a church. The enemy will do just about everything to derail that commitment if we are not careful. Here we have. Look what we have before us. Jesus steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent his disciples into Samaria to secure a lodging place that they might overnight on their journey to Jerusalem, that they might lodge there for the night, for a rest, and then they move on the next day into Jerusalem. When they got there, the disciples, in this case, the Bible named James and John, the Samaritan, when they discover that Jesus' face was set towards Jerusalem, they deny Jesus the opportunity of lodging in their community. They said because, and the reason they gave is because his face was set towards Jerusalem. Now you will remember from the scripture that the Samaritans, the Jews, and the Jews does not get along. The Samaritan hate the Jews, and the Jews hate the Samaritan. Jerusalem is a name that's not supposed to be called in Samaria. They hate the name Jerusalem. They hate the place called Jerusalem, because they believe that Jerusalem is running opposition with them. Where is in Samaria, where Sychar's well is, they believe that there is a place where people are to worship and not Jerusalem. You will remember the encounter with Jesus in St. John chapter 4. So when they learn that Jesus intends to go to Jerusalem and is only overnighting in Samaria, they deny Jesus' entry. The enemy seeks right there to derail Jesus from his mission. Church, I want to tell you that we are up against a savage enemy that will come so slick at us that at times we might not even be able to detect him. Because what they denied Jesus of was something that was vital to Jesus and the crew to get the proper rest before they enter into Jerusalem. And it could have destroyed their morals. It could have destroyed Jesus' steadfastness to know that he was rejected by a community in which he had done nothing wrong. If anything, he did something to help, especially the fact that so many of the Samaritans came out at one point because of the woman that was saved by him at the well to see him and require him to stay there to continue to minister. And now they are rejecting him, staying even overnight. And he could have destroyed that passion that he developed. He could have destroyed his moral so that he didn't go to Jerusalem. The enemy seeking ways to destroy our vision. But hallelujah, it did not change Jesus' approach. Jesus ended up in Jerusalem. And I want to say something more on this. That sometimes the enemy comes and work with people close to you too. People who are very close to you, the enemy will use at times to derail your mission, to derail your commitment to the Lord, to derail the interest that you have in God. The enemy will use people who are extremely close to you. Look on the case of the apostle Peter, Matthew 16. Jesus told them about what is going to happen. He is going to go to Jerusalem and he is going to be killed by the Romans. with the help of the high priests and Sadducees. He is going to be mocked. He is going to, all these things, Jesus told them in Matthew 16 that was going to happen to him. And what happened? After Jesus finishing saying all of this to them, Matthew 16, 21, read from verse 21 to 23. For those of you who want to look at it, Matthew 16, 21 to 23. After Jesus finishing explaining all of this to the disciples, what did Peter do? Peter, an apostle. Peter, the future leader of the church. Peter, the spokesman of the group. Peter, who received revelation from God. Peter, the main character of the group of the disciples. Peter dragged Jesus one side and said to him, never you speak like this again. Let's read the passage, because I think it is important to the discussion that the enemy will use people close to you to derail the mission. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. I read. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples all that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him. Listen to that. Peter took him. That is apart from the hearing of the other disciples. Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Peter started to rebuke Jesus, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Peter is seeking to derail the mission of Jesus by saying, what you have just said a while ago is not going to happen. That is what he meant when he dragged Jesus from the other disciples and rebuked him that he should not say what he had just said. No, we're talking about saying, Peter, and you can call whoever it is that you'd like to call Peter. Somebody close to you. Somebody close to you. Who it is? Who is that person that is so close to you that at times seeks to derail your mission? Verse 23, Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou servest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. Jesus looked through Peter and saw that it was the enemy coming at him, but using Peter as a vessel to derail his mission, to derail what was settled by the counsel of God for this moment. And there are many other instances where the enemy used different proxy to get at Jesus to destroy his mission. But I single out these two because they are important. They are important. Peter, Jesus said, he turned to Peter and said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Seeing the disciple that he knew was going to take over the church, the mission when he is gone. And to see him being used by the dragon to get at him to derail the mission and to stifle his purpose. I want to tell you this, that the enemy will use anybody close to you in order to derail your mission and to cause you to have doubt in the man called Jesus. Don't let him get that opportunity, friends. Jesus was able to look through Peter and saw the enemy. And this leads me to the third point. The third point, and we go back to St. Luke chapter 9. And I read from verse 54 again to the end this time. And when the disciples James and John saw that Jesus was rejected from Samaria, not offering the accommodation that he seeks to stay over and go to Jerusalem the next day, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as the last did?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is come. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy man's life, but to save them." And they went to another village, that is, to seek accommodation. That is the third point. A steadfast faith seek to accomplish the eternal purpose. That is where we are on the third point. A steadfast faith seek to accomplish the eternal purpose. Hello? Are we still on?
Yes, we are.
Okay. This phone is playing a trick on me here. Okay. The third point is a steadfast faith seek to accomplish the eternal purpose. Look at what we have here. James and John, when they saw the rejection of Jesus in Samaria, they asked Jesus permission to call down fire from heaven to destroy the Samaritan because of the rejection of Jesus. This human nature kicks in. Remember in Jesus rebuking Peter. Make the point that this is not of man, but it is of God. He going to Jerusalem and be suffered. It's not of man, but it is of God. James and John, they were arguing here from a human standpoint, not realizing that there's a higher calling to all of this. And they asked Jesus permission to bring judgment on the Samaritan for this. What Jesus said, how did Jesus handle this with him being so focused on going to Jerusalem? His face was set towards Jerusalem. Isaiah said his face was set like a flint, steadfastly to Jerusalem. How did Jesus deal with this moment of challenge that would derail his mission? How did he deal with it? What did Jesus say here? What did he say here? And this is so important for us to remember, church. So important for us to remember. Verse 55 said, in St. Luke chapter 9, verse 55, but he turned and rebuked them. Again, Jesus rebuking his own disciples, because they don't know the importance of the moment. Jesus, verse 5, and rebuked them and said, ye know not what spirit ye are of. The very same thing as Peter. The wrong spirit came to derail Jesus' ministry. You don't know what spirit you are of. And then Jesus made this most important statement here in the last verse, 56. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy man's life, but to save it. That takes me to Hebrews chapter 2. Which is the last reading I'm going to do for today. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. I'll read. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it becomes him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. The Holy Spirit speaking about Jesus. The purpose for which Jesus came, hallelujah, that he might taste death for every man. That he might go through all the challenges and suffering in Jerusalem as he entered there to be killed like any one of the prophets. That he might bring what? Many sons into glory. Hallelujah, because he is the one that is going to bring salvation and reconciliation in the name of Jesus. The word tells us that God was in Christ. All this time, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So when Jesus went up to Jerusalem with his face set toward Jerusalem steadfastly. And Isaiah described him as his face like a flint. What he was doing, he was carrying you and me and the world on his shoulder.
Thank you, Lord.
What he was doing, he was determined that the Godhead, the purpose for which he came, where the Godhead agreed that he should come into this world and die for humanity, he was determined that that mission must be accomplished. So not only that you and I were on his back, but he was carrying out the principle and the command of the Godhead in the face of adversity and challenge. And he sets his face like a flint, and Peter could not derail it. James and John could not derail it, because he had so committed to the mission that he was willing to offer up himself as a sacrifice. Do you remember what John said? John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. My brothers, my sister, today being Palm Sunday, I want you to focus on the seriousness of this moment. As Jesus rode the donkey, which is a symbol of peace, kings who fought wars and are triumphant, they would ride a stallion into Jerusalem, and the people would roar behind them and give them all the accolade that they deserve. But Jesus was riding a donkey, symbolizing peace. But in that quietness, in that peace, his face was determined that he is going to take on principalities and powers, and he's going to make a show of them openly. And this is what I want to convey to the church this morning, that people might be close to you at your workplaces, on the street, as in buses, in your family, might say things at times that want to cause you to feel like you want to give up. But I want you to have the same feeling like Jesus had. Paul, writing to the Philippians, Philippians 2, said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do you have that resolute mind? Do you have that mind of humility, yet total commitment towards Jesus as he had towards us in saving us? He sets his face to Jerusalem, and nothing was going to stop him. He heard that they wanted him. He was a wanted man. And he backed off and went into the wilderness in Ephraim. And he lay low for a while. But when the time came, he burst out and turned himself in to those who want to destroy him. He did it all because of you and me.
Thank you, Lord.
On this Palm Sunday, I trust that all of us will take a new look and make a new commitment as we watch Jesus through the eyes of our spirit. He knew, he alone knew what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem. Nobody else knew, as much as he told them. Yet he walked into the belly of the beast in order to take out you and me. Hallelujah! What a Savior!
Amen, what a Savior. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So today at Palm Sunday, we celebrate Palm Sunday. I trust that you will see it in a new light. The tremendous sacrifice that Jesus made to save you and me.